the May 17th, 2009 edition of Ford Forum. John Quinlan here with
Stephanie Woods.
And I have some great music coming in here from the Perfect Harmony Men's Chorus. It's one of several events that we're going to be previewing throughout the hour, although a prime topic of our hour is talking about an upcoming performance of Proud Theater. And we have two guests in studio, Dina Wessel and Olivia Wine, who are members of that troupe. And hey, welcome to Ford Forum. Okay, it's good to have you here. And we'll be getting to that interview in just a few minutes, and also giving you some additional details on Perfect Harmony. I believe here we have on the phone to tell us a little bit more about this and the background behind it is Cecilia Zarata-Lown. Cecilia, welcome to Ford Forum.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right, good to have you on.
Thank you very much.
Well, this is also occurring in a larger context. That same weekend, is it right? There's a gathering of folks from all over the United States that are members and supporters of Columbia Support Network coming to Madison.
Yes, it's our annual meeting where we get together with different members and chapters in different parts of the country that come to town, and it's the main, let's say, legislative body of the organization where we make decisions in order to plan the program for the next year. And we have people coming from Kansas City, from New York, from different other states. We have people even coming from Ohio, from upstate New York, and other states that are going to start working with us. Like in Nebraska, for example, we're going to start a chapter there, and one person is coming from there. So members and delegates from the different groups around the country get together to review the bylaws and to review the programs and to see what is the next program for the following year.
So this is really something that, while it's Madison-based, has implications all over the place, and folks are kind of following the model by establishing local chapters all over.
Yes, one of our main goals is to educate people about the situation in Colombia, and the war in Colombia is one of the most ignored wars in the world, although it has, for example, internally displaced people in 4 million. 4 million internally displaced people in the country, which is the largest number after Darfur. And however, people don't pay too much attention to the war in Colombia. People are displaced by using terrorist groups or by fumigating rural areas in order to clean out spaces for multinational corporations to come and exploit the wealth of those regions.
And thanks to your work and the work of the Columbia Support Network, there's this very special relationship with a particular region that's affected in a major way. Is it Apartado?
Yes. Our sister community is Apartado, and it's a region that is the banana region, and it's in the northwestern part of the country near the Caribbean. It's in the region next to Panama. And in that region, the people grow bananas, and it's the banana region of Colombia. Many bananas are sold here. You can go to Woodman's and get bananas from that area. However, the company, multinational company, Chiquita Banana, had also been involved in paying paramilitaries in order to stop the formation of unions for workers to defend their rights. So it's a horrendous situation, and many people really ignore what's going on in Colombia. So we recommend that people go to our website, www.colombiasupport.net, or if they want to participate in our meeting, they can call us at our office, 608-257-8753, and we can give more details.
And as I mentioned when we spoke earlier, Cecilia, we need to have you back on the show and telling us more about the things that are happening down there. As you said,
it's truly
invisible. But I mean, it's bordering on genocide. People being killed so that they don't have a chance to assume leadership in a democratic way and other just horrible things happening.
It's horrible and is very much ignored by the media and by the general public. So we need to make more outside, you know, reach, so people can really get familiar with the situation and help us out.
One of the things you do that, again, is in terms of a variety of ways people can get involved, besides hopefully attending these special events we're describing, is also that you take delegations down there periodically.
Yes, we do. We do take delegations to different regions where we have sister communities, and people are invited to join in our delegations and see for themselves and listen directly to the people who are suffering.
All right. We need to close up in just a minute, but let's also just tell people a little bit about this special event. It's happening on two different nights at the end of the month. Again, it's called Hope and Fear, Scenes from the Conflict in Rural Colombia.
Yes. On Friday night, we have Gary Leach, who is a celebrated author who wrote recently a book called Beyond Bogotá, which means that the conflict in the countryside is really what we are talking about, because many people go to Colombia and stay in Bogota, which is a lovely city full of life and art and music. But another thing is the Colombia beyond Bogota, which is in the countryside. And this is Gary Leach on May 29 at 7:30 at the Pyle Center. And on Saturday, we are going to have Steve Kagan, who is a scholar and an artist, a photographer, a fantastic photographer, as you can see for the poster that we have published. And he is going to show slides of the region of Chocó, which is a region populated mainly by Afro-Colombians, and is the site of the Darién rainforest that is being destroyed in order to allow the cultivation of palm oil to produce biodiesel or to exploit gold and platinum in the area.
Okay.
So it's very important that people become aware of this situation.
So these are actually two different presentations, so it's not duplicative for folks to attend
both
of those.
No, they're two different presentations.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
No duplicates.
All right. Thank you so much, Cecilia.
Thank you very much.
For all your
John.
Good work. And again, we'll have you on before too long.
Thank you very
hour.
Much.
Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, thanks. Once again, this is Forward Forum here. John Quinlan here.
With Stephanie Woods.
And we are very pleased, as we mentioned, to have our guests in studio for the full hour. But our primary focus is one of our favorite subjects, and that's Proud Theater. And once again, to reintroduce our guests, we have Dina Wessel, and she's the Youth Artistic Director, and involved for several years, and also involved for several years. And I was going to call you a graduating senior, but that's a little bit complicated since you graduated a little bit early on us. And that's Olivia Stone, Olivia Wine, excuse me, I apologize. And so again, Dina Wessel, Olivia Wine, both involved with Proud Theater. Once again, thanks and welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Okay. Well, Dina, why don't we start with you if we could? And just one other acknowledgement for you. We had a chance last night to attend the annual celebration of leadership for Gay Straight Alliance for Safe Schools. Congratulations on your recognition. That was
Thank
an
you.
Exciting time. And yeah, there's so many different ways we can get into this, and as we go further into the hour, we'll tell a little bit more about kind of the history of Proud Theater, which is about 10 years old now. But you have a performance coming up, and it sounds like kind of an interesting topic that overlays a lot of it, which has to do with gender. That's something I know you had a lot to tell us about last night.
Correct.
And I believe it's proudtheater.org. Does that sound right?
Yes.
Okay. theater spelled the English way, meaning the American way, I guess.
The American way being E-R, the English way being R-E.
You got it.
Okay.
You got it. So,
in case you didn't know.
But again, all of it's up at forwardforum.net. But let's also just explore a little bit, again, one of those themes. Actually bounce it off to you, Steph. I mean, does it strike you that, we've had some other young people on lately, and it seems like gender is one of these issues that's really front and center for them, maybe in a
especially
way it wasn't
today on the station.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Gender is absolutely front and center. It's always, I don't know if it's being a female, and we're not really in the minority, though, so I'm not quite sure how. It's on the front of my mind quite often, just going through life.
Did you feel a lot of pressure to conform when you were in high school? Did not?
I feel pressure now to conform.
Do you?
Yeah, actually, at my job during the day, I work with a lot of conservatives, and that's a whole other topic. But, yeah, sure. Absolutely.
So this is one of those topics we could all do something and break out of the box and maybe learn something from it.
Absolutely.
Like.
And I'm curious what this show is going to be about. Did we delve into what
I think we're
what these
about
performances
to go there. So
are about? Because I'm curious.
Back to Dina on that.
Okay. So every year Proud Theater has like kind of an overlying theme to the show. It just kind of develops organically, I'd say, throughout the year. We start meeting in August, I believe? No.
Mm-hmm.
November. September. Right when school starts, we start meeting. And so during the year, based on like who the people are in the group, we end up having some kind of theme show up. And this year, a lot of the pieces that we're doing are focused more around the topic of gender. We have a lot of like people who are very gender variant in the group, like don't identify completely as female or male. And I think gender in itself is very much a big issue for people. It's kind of underlying. People don't see it. We talk about like global warming or like same-sex marriage. But I think because gender is so basic in our society, we don't think about it as much. But there's definitely a lot more to be analyzed there.
And it's something that isn't just something that intersects with sexual orientation. It's if
no,
everybody.
It's a completely different factor. If you think of things as spectrums, you have a spectrum of sexual orientation where people identify as gay, straight, bisexual, anywhere in between. Gender, you can think of the same exact way where people can identify as male, female, or somewhere in between. And then to make it even more complicated, that can be separate from sex, where people are born male, female, and then some people are born intersex. But okay. That's complicated.
Well, we'll see if we can parse some of that
uncomplicated
out as we go here, perhaps. Throughout the hour here. But you just again, for folks who maybe aren't familiar with what Proud Theater does, you're about 10 years old now, and initially I know
you don't mean Dina, you mean the the program.
<She's> You say something about silly women, but we won't go there. Okay, never mind.
And we need more of those.
Better not do that. Exactly. No. The group is about 10 years old, and I know two of the groups you're trying to reach through that are people that are identified as LGBT or questioning and also young people who grew up with lesbian or gay moms and dads but another important component of that are people that maybe don't have a defined queer identity but are allied. And Olivia Wine, you know, is that part of your motivation for wanting to get involved?
Well, I guess. I mean, I have had, like, ever since I was younger, I've had a lot of friends who are gay or, I don't know, LGBT related. And I had one in particular who was like, I'm in this theater group and you should join. And I was like, okay. So I came one day, and I think it's important that it's an allied group too, because I think the whole LGBT people being able to connect with allies is really important, because the allies can also help them get them out into like the whole straight world. I don't know. But yeah, I think it's important for me to be in the group as an ally.
And then off of that, you know, again, just this theme of talking about genders and not fitting into boxes and other things, is that something that you grappled with in your own life?
I don't know. I mean, I've always been pretty, like, girly. I mean, I'm not a girly girl, and I'm not a tomboy, but I had
somewhere in between.
Yeah, I'm somewhere in between. I don't know. I had the whole, like, my mom thought I was gay phase of my life. But, yeah, I think I'm pretty good with my gender. Like, I'm solid. I'm a female. A lot of things we discussed this year, though, is the whole female being feminine. Mm-hmm. Like, that's an issue this year that we talk about, is that all females are feminine, and we have a monologue about how females can be like strong, independent women, and they don't have to be like
they can
girly.
Belch and fart.
Yes, that's actually part of it. Yeah, and
something I do quite often.
Yeah, I'm sure we all do.
I'm sorry, it's just I'm glad that's not assigned to one gender or the other, because that would just be so boring.
Yeah,
I agree. And so, yeah, there's a whole a lot of gender stuff going on this year.
Well, it sounds like maybe you're hopefully living in a world where people aren't trying to put you in a box. You're saying you can't be a strong woman, or you can't aspire to be this profession or this type of person or whatever. So I don't know.
Exactly. We could have possibly had a woman president this year. So
that's right.
Anything's possible, I think.
Well, actually, should we invite other folks into the conversation?
We should.
Among them, some of your colleagues at Proud Theater who are on break right now who may be listening. And I know there are dozens of you who are alumni of this group and have had probably experiences that you'd like to share, probably, and then hundreds or maybe thousands by now of folks who've seen the performances, been impacted in some way. Give us a call. Share your experiences and why you think this kind of theater is important and entertaining, and anyway, what purpose it fulfills for our community.
Olivia, I'm curious. You said that your mom or was it both your parents thought you were gay for a while? And was that because you joined the group?
No, I think it was just because – I mean, I think that might have taken part. I think it was just because I was like a weird little kid and they were like, you might be gay. And I'm like, no.
They said that to you? You might be gay?
No. Well, I mean, my mom confronted me about it and she was like, Olivia, are you a lesbian? And I was like, no, I'm not. And she's like, are you sure? And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, if I ever decide that I think I'm a lesbian, you will be the first to know.
And she had your support, or you had her support.
Yeah, no, she's totally like, I mean, she loves us. She comes every year. Her dad came one year. He loved it. I mean, my mom's totally liberal and Jewish and loves all the gay people in the world. So.
That's a good thing. You know? And John, of course, before we came on the air today, wanted me to share my story, the fact that my stepmom and my dad thought I was gay for 2.5 years because I drove a truck and had short hair. So if that isn't lame.
I just think it's wonderful.
And they're very conservative, and they were totally okay
with
it.
But you still get all of the perks, all of the affirmation, and the we love you no matter what and all the rest without any of the hassle.
It was good.
That's great.
My, yeah. My love for my father grew at that point. And I needed to go back to school for some grammar lessons. But yeah, I was impressed that he was supportive. And I know a lot of people where that's not the case. So it's good to hear when parents are that way. Actually, Dina, can we ask you about that?
Sure.
Your experience with your parents and coming out to them, how did that bode for you?
Well, my parents were pretty great about the whole thing. I think I came out kind of casually. I started like seeing someone for a long time, this girl, and I just kind of said we were dating, and I guess they just assumed from that I was obviously not straight. So, and yeah, they were totally fine with it. I think my dad at some point was like, well, I'm worried because I dreamed of you, like, growing up, getting married, having kids, and I'm worried, like, that's not going to happen because of this. And I identify as bisexual, so I tried to convince him, you know, it's not a big issue. Like, I can still hopefully marry someone of either sex or whatever sex, and
in Maine
or Iowa, and you know, I can still adopt kids, I can still have a family, and it'll be fine. So I think my parents were pretty accepting. I mean, we live in Madison tends to be pretty progressive. So
yeah, we were talking before the show, but you know, Proud Theater I think started in some ways obviously to focus in on homophobia. But there's a whole lot of other things and a lot of other ways of being other, or just maybe being, you know, marching to a different drum or whatever you want to call it, just not necessarily fitting into boxes. And you know, I think young people from all different backgrounds are attracted to Proud Theater because it's a place where you can kind of truly be who you are. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, Proud Theater, we talk about any issues that affect youth, and we have skits on those very different issues, but we try to have an LGBT focus that ties it all together.
Okay. Well, I think we're up against our first break. We do have, I believe, a couple callers on the phone, so if we could ask your patience for just hold on for a moment or two, we'll get to you right after the break. Again, John Quinlan here with Stephanie Woods in Forward Forum. Our guests for the remainder of the hour are two young people representing Proud Theater. We have in studio Dina Wessel and Olivia Wine, and looking forward to an interesting conversation about how they make theater that reflects the realities of their lives. Just proudtheater.org is the place to find out more. Back with Forward Forum in just a moment.
Go out and tell a story, let it echo far and wide. Them hear
them hear you.
And welcome back to Ford Forum. Jack Quinlan here with
Stephanie Woods.
Very appropriate message. Go out and tell your story. A lot of what Proud Theater is about. Again, our guests for the remainder of the hour are two members of Proud Theater. We have Dina Wessel and Olivia Wine in studio telling us about their experiences in doing this great transformative theater and what it means in terms of telling stories that are reflective of their lives and the folks that are part of all of this. Perfect Harmony, coming up, remind me in our third segment, I just want to flesh out a little bit more, tell people about that concert and some of its highlights.
They're fantastic. You know,
yeah,
I saw them live once. I was on tears streaming down my face. I'm not even kidding. They were so beautiful.
Some great stuff.
And handsome. Beautiful music. Handsome men who I have no chance with. But anyway.
And actually, while we're just to expand on that a little bit, so their theme this year is something called Equal, Not Special, and it's happening now on the verge of the 40th anniversary of the Stonewall Rebellion, very important historic development in LGBT rights when people stood up for their rights after many years, but also resonant with the 60s movements for black civil rights, women's suffrage, the anti-slavery movement, a lot of songs echoing all those different themes. So
should be a very powerful concert.
Very powerful, educational, entertaining, all of those things. Again, perfectharmonychorus.org is the place to find out about all of that. We have several callers have been patiently waiting, and perhaps we should get to them before we go further.
And we welcome your calls. Welcome. Hi.
Hey, Seb.
So I'm another youth from Proud Theater. I just heard Dina and Olivia speaking so eloquently, and I wanted to chime in.
And by the way, thank you for your powerful poem that that opened the G-Safe event last night. That was great.
Oh, no problem. It was my pleasure.
Do you have a special experience you wanted to share? Or?
No, I just wanted to say Proud Theater is super awesome, and to listen to Dina and Olivia, they are amazing, and I hope that this interview continues to go fantastically.
Well, Seb, we had something we wanted to ask you about, you know, talking about, of course, gender themes being on all this. Steph, do you want to put that to him?
I do. I'm hearing your radio in the background, so if you wouldn't mind turning that down. So the ladies in the studio here were telling me that you use a gender-neutral pronoun. And I wanted you to expand on that because I'm just fascinated by that. Just reading books, you know, ever since I was a kid, you know, and reading the he when it could have been a she. And I hear that there is a pronoun that exists. So please enlighten us.
Yes, there is a gender neutral pronoun. It's borrowed from the German language, and that's hier and sie. And personally, they're okay, but I prefer people just use my first name. It's Seb, short, like a pronoun itself. But yeah, we just recently we've been using these German pronouns for people who don't identify as male or female, and it's very, very cool and a really nice resource for those people.
Hey, could you just expand a little bit on what the process of creating some of the skits for this show has been? You know, it's always very much drawn out of people's personal beliefs and experiences and stuff. Is some of that reflected in terms of your own experience with gender and in the pieces that have been produced?
Oh, very much. What we do is we get together as a group and we figure out what topics we want to talk about, and from there we divide into smaller groups and all talk about our experiences and come up with a piece and a way to show very specific things and all a very – we come up with a common theme that we all want to express through a piece, and we improvise and use our own experiences to build off of that. So, I mean, I was a part of creating some pieces, as were other people, and actually have a couple poems in the show that I wrote myself. So that's very reflective of me, I think.
That's awesome. Well, thanks so much for calling in and sharing that, Seb.
Hey, say hi to everybody there.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for tuning in.
We also have Pat in Springdale.
Hey, guys, I got to tell you, this is a little quick account of one time in my life when I actually came up with a good reply after someone said something to me. It's always usually later when you think of it.
Yeah.
It was the early 70s. I was a art student, and I had kind of a young person, lean build, and I used to wear, instead of bell bottoms, I'd wear these, like, straight leg jeans, and don't laugh when I tell you this outfit, a corduroy coat.
Excellent.
My Georgia Giant construction boots, and because they were really comfortable. And I used to wear this derby, this black old derby that I had. And I had long hair, but I'd have it, like, tucked up underneath the derby. And one day I was walking on a street in Baltimore where I went to school, and some guy yelled out, hey, what are you, a girl or a boy?
Mm.
And I said, a little bit of both.
Nice.
All right.
So, it just hit me. You know, I mean, we're just so much more complex than, you know, the range of, you know, what's feminine and what's a girl and what's a boy and all that. It's crazy. People get so insecure. They get so freaked out if, you know, you're not, you know, they can't place you.
Categorize you.
And oddly enough, of course, my name is Pat, so, you know, you get the Saturday Night Live Pat. You know? So anyway, I just wanted
That's
to call in.
That's a great story.
That's right. You know, I give you a little bit of a hard time. Sorry, young people in studio were shaking their heads as you were describing your ensemble from the early 70s. Because, of course, they've done these historic pieces about that old early time. And I'm sorry. I'm just giving you a hard time.
No. The olden days.
That's right.
Exactly. Thanks so much for your call, Pat.
Thanks.
We have one more caller. We've got Steve in Madison.
Yes, how you doing?
Hi, Steve.
Well, I'd like to ask you panel members there a question. It's getting a little more heavy than the last calls, but how they feel or what their feelings are on the way that Miss California was treated by that item in that was judging the contest.
Okay, you want to feel that one, Dina? Or?
I actually haven't been paying much attention to this.
You must have heard about it, right? I mean, do you think he was inappropriate or what?
I don't really know the details at all.
Steve, specifically, what are you talking about?
Well, she gave her views on gay marriage, and it didn't meet with his standards. So they began to berate her and probably cost her the crown because she spoke her mind. Where is tolerance? I mean, where does tolerance begin and end? You know what I'm saying? Is tolerance just on one side of this issue?
So the he you're talking about is Perez Hilton, who is a gay man who
the guy who changed his name so it sounds like Paris Hilton. You know, who knows what his real name is?
Well, we got a litmus test, I guess, in the studio that maybe the younger generation wasn't listening to that all that much. But you know,
what do you guys think?
Sure.
What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I would say I think you do have a point. I think that the way that it played itself out, you know, the issue shouldn't have been about whether she expressed her opinion or other things. I think, unfortunately, the way that the story has continued is I think she's frankly been exploited by that no marriage group and been paraded out there. Apparently it's you know probably more of a contract issue than anything, that anybody who participates in the panel isn't supposed to be political. So it's gotten kind of distorted and you know anyway, whatever message was there in the first place about First Amendment rights and everything has gotten obscured by the press just probably making a mountain out of a molehill. And, you know, I would say it's probably not the most important thing to be thinking about right now.
Well, here's one more point on it.
Yeah.
So all I ask of the transgender gay community and all is when I'm asked a question about whether I approve or disapprove, if I say I disapprove of gay marriage or if I disapprove of the gay lifestyle, don't try and turn me into a pariah.
Would you make
a
distinction?
Give me a right for my opinion.
Steve, would you make a distinction if it was a matter of disapproving or not approving of the person?
Catch that one more time.
Yeah, I mean, so you're talking about more political ideas.
I'm saying
don't knock you down if we're criticizing because you disagree with the politics involved. But what about if it's the person that you're criticizing?
I'm criticizing an individual person, yeah, that's different. But, I mean, if somebody asks me what I think of the gay lifestyle and I give them an honest answer, accept it with a smile because we're all supposed to be tolerant.
Steve, this is Olivia. I just wanted to say that I think everybody's entitled to their own opinion. I mean, otherwise we wouldn't be, like, it just wouldn't be right otherwise. But Proud Theater isn't trying to make people change. We're not trying to, like, force our opinion on people. We're trying to educate people. That's our goal, is to help people understand what we're going through and to therefore make decisions based on what we're telling them. We're not
but
telling them that
some people may never understand it. I mean, you know,
well,
I mean,
that's
like
true.
I said, I came up from a Catholic upbringing, not to go into genetics, but males have certain parts, females have certain parts, and when you cross the line and try and imagine that you don't have that specific part, and you're trying to make us understand how all this can be rational. Some of us don't. We're never going to catch it.
Okay, well, take those ideas and try to plug them into the conversation. Thanks for your thoughts, Steve.
It's always good to have both sides. I like when we can have a conversation, and I think that he brings up good points, but I think you guys also addressed his points very well.
Well, off of what you're saying, Olivia, I think, you know, having seen virtually all the performances at Proud Theater, it's not so much a matter of trying to tell people they're wrong. It's more a matter of expressing what your experiences, your beliefs are. Is that
exactly?
It's giving youth a voice.
Absolutely. Yes, we have another caller on the line.
We do. We've got Callan in Madison.
Hey, Callan, welcome.
Would this be?
This would be
Mr. Callan.
Mr. Callan Hardy, I believe.
Yes, it is. I was just calling in response to that last caller. I find it interesting that that question about the beauty pageant would come up when we're doing a show that's focusing on gender, and the pageants clearly delineate gender and clearly express, you know, a feminine ideal, which is not consistent with most of the people in the world, really.
I find it interesting that we didn't really know much about it anyway, did we?
Yeah, the youth aren't paying attention to that.
Exactly.
You know, it's not an important thing. What they're doing is they're expressing their stories, as Olivia just so eloquently answered him. They're expressing their stories and trying to educate people and talking about what their lives are about and hoping that people will hear that message and grow from it. And they've all grown, too. It's interesting to watch.
Just briefly while we have you on the line, you were there at the beginning 10 years ago. What are your thoughts 10 years later in terms of the directions that this theater troupe has taken?
I'm blown away by it. When we first started in late 1999, there were three youth and myself meeting every Saturday. And the last couple of years, we've had 20-plus youth each year. And we just keep growing and getting bigger and better, doing more performances, selling them out year after year. And the evolution of the group has been amazing to watch. The complicated material that we're dealing with now is amazing compared to where we started. It's just been awesome to watch it grow. I don't know if you know this, John, but we're looking now towards becoming a nonprofit organization so that we can hire staff, so that we can pay the artistic director, Brian, to do the job. And, you know, have a paid staff and grow even more. The idea is to, you know, to expand to other cities and other communities so that this kind of work can go on elsewhere.
Well, that last part is really exciting. Just, you know, when I've had a chance to travel around the country, tell people about what's happening at Proud Theater here in Madison, that's been people's first response. How can we do that here? So that would be terrific if you could take this seed and plant it in other places. That's terrific.
Yeah, we're excited about that. I won't take your time up. I'd like to hear more from Dina and Olivia. They're speaking very well. I appreciate the work they're doing.
Okay. Say hi to the whole gang there.
Okay. Thanks, John.
Take care.
Thanks for your call, Callan.
And this is Forward Forum. And again, our discussion for the remainder of the hour is continuing with our two guests in studio. We haven't given you a whole chance this segment, but we got some interesting comments to reflect on. We've got Dina Wessel and Olivia Wine here with us, and they've each been involved for several years with Proud Theater. And if you go to proudtheater.org, lots of information on how to order tickets. Very inexpensive way to get a great theater experience, only $10. And we will give you a chance, by the way, in the next hour also to pitch other ways that people can support us. Again, John Quinlan here with Stephanie Woods. Forward Forum, we'll be back in just a moment.
Listening to Forward Forum. I'm Stephanie Woods.
With John Quinlan.
And we are here happily talking about Proud Theater, and we're going to ask some more in-depth questions. I'm a big theater buff, actually.
That's right.
A lot of theater in high school.
Having been in a film recently where you were attacked by a giant chicken.
There's that.
She was.
We are. Thanks, John. You could be my own personal publicist?
Here you go.
We're here with Youth Artistic Director Dina Wessel and longtime member and graduating senior Olivia Wine. Did you just graduate?
Graduated.
Graduated.
Yeah, I graduated early.
This year?
Yeah, like a semester early.
So she's taking college courses this semester.
Early. Oh my gosh, cool. I wouldn't want that kind of.
So Dina from West High School and
oh, you're in high school?
Yes,
it's a high school.
Holy cow, high school kids are, they look older these days or something. I never would have thought you were in high school. Anyway, we're returning now to the conversation.
And just to loop back around one more time, you know, the intro music has been for each of the segments. It come to us from the Perfect Harmony men's chorus.
Men's choir, chorus.
And, they're
time for me to take a nap.
That's all right. So anyway, they're doing a really interesting, in this case, very timely concert because we're coming up on the 40th anniversary of the Stonewall Rebellion, which is for a lot of folks a very significant development in LGBT rights history. Time when people stood up at the Stonewall Bar in New York City against police that had been shutting them down and arresting them just essentially for being who they were. And anyway, the concert's called Equal Not Special. They're also doing a couple of other things actually this afternoon as we speak. They're doing a special benefit for AIDS Network and some of the work they do to the south of here down in Janesville. And then they're doing a special concert at the Capitol Lakes Retirement Center, which is where they do the rehearsals to kind of thank people there. So if you happen to actually – we probably do have a lot of listeners at Capitol Lakes Retirement Center because that's where the United Nations Association meets that I'm involved with.
Aha.
Other folks. But
it's all connected.
There's a special concert for them too. All of this information up at either perfectharmonychorus.org or, again, go to forwardforum.net to follow the link to the blog, and you'll find all of it there as well. So So as we head back with these guys, what strikes you about what they do and how they do it? I don't know.
Well, I'm curious what, you know, back in the days when I was in theater, there was a lot that went into it. How do you guys, you sort of touched on how you get an idea, but how does that start? You know, how does the seed germinate into, you know, what you guys get? What's the process behind all this?
Well, we talked about, before going on the show, there are kind of two tracks that our pieces can take. And, of course, our end-of-the-year show, because we only have one real show in Proud Theater, we meet the whole year long, and then we have a cumulative show. At that show, we have like a mélange, an assortment of different pieces, and some are poetry, theater, music. But our theater pieces can take two tracks, basically. One is that we all meet together, like Seb said, and we think of a topic that we want to do and then improv and write the script together based on those improvisations.
Yeah. We also have, like, in the very beginning of the year when we start to meet, we have a big group meeting and we all have a chalkboard, like there's a big chalkboard, and we say, okay, what do we want to do this year? And we throw out ideas, like a bunch of ideas.
Themes? Like anything?
Just anything. Like, oh, I want to discuss like coming out, and I want to discuss being there. I don't know. We've discussed a lot of really ridiculous, crazy things. We've discussed like doing musical pieces. There's just a lot of things we put
into
it.
I wanted to do a mime piece. That didn't quite happen.
You know? Yeah, no, there's a lot of crazy stuff. And then based on that big list, we narrow it down, and then we do what Dina just said, we improv, and then we come up with like a rough draft script, and then we keep improving, we keep like fixing it until we think it's ready, and then we cast it. Usually the adult mentors do that, and then
like open auditions then for anybody in the community or for people that are within the group?
It's only within the group. It's the people who have joined and from the beginning of the year, and then we have those people audition for those parts, and then we cast it, and then after that we work on the piece more until we think it's perfect, and things will often be added in after it's been cast. Like, it's the script isn't even final until we go on, you know what I mean? Things have been added like the day before, so it's
And the second track that I was talking about, they're kind of two tracks. The second track is we invite the Proud Theater members to write what they want and bring in a script. So if you have this great idea, you can go home and write your script out, bring it in, and then the group will read it together, and then we'll have comments, feedback, and we'll just work on it as a group from that point.
So everything's really a collective work. It's not like the only thing that's really written can really be written by one person is usually just poetry in our group, but everything else, pieces and music and everything, is really collaborative. And yeah, everybody gives a little bit of their input, and it takes a lot of time, but
I think very often highlights of the show are some of the spoken word pieces that are really strong individual expressions of what people have gone through and their experiences. But this collaboration thing fascinates me, Steph. I don't know, the theater you've been involved with, I mean, I guess the stuff that I've been involved with or I've seen is usually it's like a couple, you know, maybe just a few people's vision. It's the person who writes it. It's
the director maybe. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, and you, you know, if you were – you usually think of, you know, if, so you have eight characters on a set – you know, if each of them were to contribute or to go their own direction with the character or do other things, you know, I think most, you know, things, oh, that'd be a nightmare. You know, how would you possibly have a cohesive vision? But the fact that they can do that, that just amazes me.
And it sounds like when you guys are doing the improvs and you're kind of working on things, that's where you're really fleshing it out then. So are you doing certain games? Because I remember when we played like Freeze. Isn't that what it's called, Freeze? Would you guys give an explanation of Freeze? A fantastic game. Do you still do that, if you don't mind?
That's yeah, we do.
If there's others, I'd love to hear about them.
We do it. We do Freeze for warm-ups. Like, every day we have warm-ups.
Right.
And we do a whole bunch of fun games that, like, focus us and get us energized. And
warm-ups, one of the purposes that they serve, probably the primary purpose, is to kind of forget whatever else is going on in your life. Mm-hmm. I mean, people from Proud Theater, it's... Often Proud Theater is like a safe zone, you know. People can, if they're having problems at home, if their parents don't know they're gay or whatever, they can leave that all behind and enter Proud Theater. And, you know, warm-ups help you bring the focus in and the energy in to work as a group.
Yeah, and so we play Freeze during warm-ups, but usually when we're doing improv for pieces, we'll say, okay, you and you go up there. You're at a party and you're sad.
So you're explaining Freeze now for our listeners, right?
Well, that's Freeze is basically where you just stick two people on a stage
right.
And you're like, okay, go. And they have to make something up.
But then you got to tag in.
And then somebody says Freeze and then they go in and replace them and they have to create a whole new scene.
Right.
But when we do improv for our pieces, when it's not like we don't play Freeze. It's
okay.
Like we have two random people go or three or however many we need. And we're like, okay, you're the dad and you're the kid and you're in a fight. No, fight.
But, I mean, there are aspects of Freeze into it. Like, yeah, you're the dad, you're the kid, fight. They do their improv scene, and then we'll be like, okay, let's try it again. You guys switch places, or let's bring in
a different person.
Yeah,
or you can be the little sister now. Let's see what happens. And sometimes we don't even give them, like, you're the dad, you're the kid. We're just like, okay, go up there and do what you think would work for this piece. And then they do. And that's really – we come up with a lot of really great lines based on that and a lot of good, like, ideas and –
obviously, it's a lot of fun, and obviously, you guys have a goal in mind. What do you want your audiences to get from this? Because you will have people who are there to support what you're doing, who are supportive of the group. What else do you want people who go who might not be supportive to get out of this?
Well, one thing I like to say is we like to leave audiences both challenged and inspired. They're challenged by the things we're presenting them that can be scary or can be just something they've never heard of or, like, you know,
different.
It makes them question their experiences and their opinions and stuff. Another thing, but also to be inspired and inspired by the youth and the power of their voices and the fact that we are the future and we're, you know, making a difference and we're gonna go out into the world and, like, say these things and be who we are.
Like, I don't know. Personally, I just want people to be educated. I feel like this is a topic that people are often not educated about. And I think that if we share our personal experiences with them and they might see what happens firsthand, then they can get a better view of what's going on. And then maybe they can make educated decisions about how to feel about it. I mean, once again, people are entitled to their opinions, but you can't really have a real opinion on something unless you know what's going on. Like,
unless
you can't just assume
it. Mm-hmm.
Something. It's just not
I
right.
think a lot of time that's what people are afraid. Mm. And, you know, maybe they hear something or they hear of someone or somebody had this bad experience and they don't know personally, you know, somebody who's gay or something like that. So I think fear is a big thing. But what you guys are doing is really great. And I'm glad that you've got the support to do that because it takes a lot.
And education is a really important word. I'm glad you brought it up. But I think people also need to know that it's not hit you over the head with concepts or you should believe this or that kind of thing. Like, as you said, it's basically just telling your stories and maybe opening somebody's mind to a different way of looking at things.
Yeah. I mean, we have some things that are just, like, really hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, things that are like, no, this didn't actually happen to us. But it's like – we just thought we'd throw something funny on there to calm you down. And I don't know, we have stuff that's like really intense. Like we have a family piece this year, and it's based off of one person in particular's family experience, and it's really intense, and it's definitely one of those pieces where you watch it and at the end you're just like, oh my God. But it offers a lot, you know what I mean? You can learn a lot from it. And a lot of parents in the audience will be looking at it from their parental view, but if you see it like on a screen or in front of you, then you can see both sides of the story, you know what I mean? And it's not in the piece, the parent isn't right and the kid isn't right. It's just, it's like a two-way thing, and it offers a lot of like
insight.
Oh, good word.
We're down to just less than a couple of minutes, but maybe a couple of other highlights of some of the skits. You mentioned that you're bringing back something that actually started a few years ago on sort of a Peter Pan theme.
Yes. Peter Pan. I don't know when it was written, but it got dug up.
2 years ago.
Okay, 2 years ago. It was never performed. It was just a script, one script that had been worked on or brought in or whatever. And we brought it back this year to look at it. And one of our members, Seb, actually, who called in, took it upon himself to, or upon Seb, to completely change it and rewrite it. And it's a fabulous piece.
It's so funny. It's hilarious.
But it started 2 years ago. So we do a lot of that work, bringing pieces back.
It's like in 1 year, we could probably write like, or start at least like 40 scripts, but they all get like, I don't know for sure how many, but we can't use all of them, and we definitely can't, we don't have enough time to like fix all of them. So we just tuck them away and then
save them for a rainy day.
Yep, exactly. Save them for a rainy day.
Well, that's great. And we sure have appreciated your contributions and the fact that you're sticking with us. And thank you so much, Dino Wessel and Olivia Wine.
Thanks, guys.
This is Forward Form. We'll take care.